Well, we'll see if we're going to do a good job tonight, because this is my first Christmas message that I've ever given. And I'm really excited for it, but I was even asking the Holy Spirit as I was preparing this message. I said, Lord, I want to look at this Christmas story with fresh eyes, with new revelation, because everyone, if you've been saved, or even if like you're not saved, you've probably heard the story of baby Jesus in the manger. And I just said, God, I want to preach a message that feels new, that feels fresh. I don't want people to be like, yeah, I heard this story before. Give me revelation where I can preach this message and someone can get something out of it, you know? And so even as I was worshiping, I was hearing a download of the Holy Spirit giving me new points, even right now, just 5 minutes ago. And so I know that the Lord has a fresh message for us tonight, and I'm really excited about it, because I'm hoping and I'm praying that as I'm preaching this message, you don't tune out, but you tune in to what God wants to say through this story that we've heard hundreds, you know, thousands of times. This is a fresh revelation of what Jesus came onto the earth in order to do. Amen. He didn't become a baby just because it was a cute little story. He became a baby because we needed salvation. And this was God's plan for that. And so I just pray that you guys would tune in, even though we've heard this story a lot, because I just believe that God's going to give you fresh revelation through this message that we've heard a lot. Amen. Amen. So this is a Christmas sermon. And I was thinking about, you know, this, like I said, the story of Jesus being born. And a lot of the time we hear this story and we're like, oh, what a cute little message. It's like baby Jesus and he's in swaddling cloths. And oh, look at, you know how like when you see a pregnant woman and everyone's like, oh, you look so cute. You're a cute pregnant woman. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? People say that women are so cute when they're pregnant. So we see Mary and we're like, oh, she was pregnant with the Son of God. And Joseph must be so proud. And we think of this story and, you know, we think of how cute it is, and how, you know, how it's just like so timeless. But I want us, as we talk about this message tonight, to think about everything that Mary and Joseph went through in this process. Amen. I don't know where we get this idea from, but sometimes we get this idea that if it's meant to be, it comes easy. Like if it's a miracle, everything's just going to fall into place, you know? And maybe it's from Hallmark movies. I don't know. Where, you know, around the Christmas season, we turn on Disney, we turn on the Hallmark movie, and you know how it all goes. It's just, you know, a small town girl living in a lonely world. And then all of a sudden she gets called back home to visit her rural little town, and she goes home and there's this studly country guy, and he's going to show her the true meaning of Christmas through love. And, you know, and that's what we see. And so we can kind of come to this conclusion that if it's meant to be, it's going to be easy. If it's true love, then everything's just going to fall into place. And the truth is that the Christmas message, the Christmas story, is less of a Hallmark movie and more of a novella, to be honest. It's much more of a soap opera when you really think about it. When you really read the gospel of the Christmas message, if you look at the characters and you just don't gloss over them like, oh, how cute Mary and Joseph. If you actually read the emotion and the trials that they went through to get to the miracle of the gift of baby Jesus, it was way more like a soap opera than it was a Hallmark movie. The Christmas story is a soap opera. That's what it truly is. And so I want to look at that. So the title of my message is The Side of the Christmas Story We Don't Talk About. And the second title is The Trouble That Comes With the Miracle. And I have a couple of different troubles that we're going to talk about today in the Christmas message that came with the story of Jesus being born. A couple of troubles that came with the gift of the promise of the Messiah being born to mankind. And the first one is the drama with the pregnancy. And I don't know if you know this, but Mary was a virgin when she was told that you are going to give birth to the Son of God. And if we look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we see that Mary, she's most likely, we know that she's young. She's betrothed to Joseph. She has not been in bed with him yet. And she is a diligent servant of the Lord. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, if I can get that on the screen, it says, in the sixth month of Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, can I watch it on the screen? Cool. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." So here we have this young woman who's betrothed. She hasn't even had sex yet. She hasn't had sex with who she's supposed to be betrothed to. And yet, it says that she was 6 months pregnant, and then all of a sudden she gets visited by an angel. And we already know what her emotions were, because in the text it says in verse 29, it says that she was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could have even meant. She didn't even understand it herself. Have you ever heard information that sounds so crazy to you? It takes a second to process. You're like, wait, what did you say? Huh? Come again? Because I didn't even hear that right. That's literally the moment that Mary is having. She's like, how could that even be? I've never known a man. What? So we know that she's confused and she's disturbed. But then it says in verse 28, it said the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." The angel is telling her as she's confused and as she's disturbed and she's like, huh, come again? The angel is telling her, you are favored and you are blessed. In verse 30, he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." So what we're seeing here is that Mary had a blessing and a call of God on her life. She was favored, but with that favor came hardship. With that favor came drama, because now she has to go to her betrothed. She has to go to Joseph and she has to explain to him what she just heard from this angel. And we know that Joseph's emotions, we can see it in the text as well. Joseph's side of the story, we see more in the account of Matthew. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, it says that when he heard this, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, and this is verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1, he was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Other versions in the Greek say he decided to divorce her, because in Jewish culture, when you're engaged, they already had the ceremony. In American culture, you know, like you propose to her, she's like, ah, yes, I do. And then you guys have the wedding 6 months, 9 months later. In Jewish culture, they've already had the wedding ceremony. They've already said yes to each other in front of all of their friends and all of their family. The only thing they haven't done is they haven't consummated the marriage by having the marriage bed together. So now Mary has to go to Joseph and she has to explain to him, I know that you and me have never been in the marriage bed, but I'm pregnant. And I trust my fiance probably more than anyone else in the world. And I know that I can go to him with something that if I have something that I feel like no one else will believe me, I can go to him and I could say, hey, babe, you know what? I really feel this. And he would believe me because he's my most trusted confidant. But if I went to my fiance and I told him, I know you and me have never had sexual relations, but I'm pregnant, as much as I trust him and as much as I know he thinks I'm not a liar, he's going to think I'm a liar that day. He's definitely not going to believe me that day. The trust that we built will have been severed in that moment, because even though he knows I'm a woman of God and even though he knows that I'm not a liar, that is a tremendous amount of stress and a tremendous amount of truth that Joseph all of a sudden has to swallow. And we know how he felt, because it says that he didn't want to go forward with the marriage anymore. It says that when he found out this information, he said, okay, babe, we're going to divorce quietly because I don't believe you, but I also don't want you to be stoned by looking like a cheater in front of everyone. So we'll just let this go quietly. So far, the part of the Christmas story that we don't talk about is this drama. Like this drama that we would, like I said, it's not a Hallmark movie. It's a novella. We see this drama of Mary having to deal with the emotion and the stress of, okay, I guess I'm pregnant now. And then we see the drama and the emotion of Joseph having to swallow, okay, I guess my fiance's pregnant now. And he doesn't believe her. But it says, thank God, it says that an angel, in verse 20, it says that an angel came to Joseph and he reveals to Joseph that she's not lying. This really is a baby that has been implanted inside of her by the Holy Spirit. This truly is the Messiah. This truly is the Son of God. And she truly is blessed and favored. Thank you, Jesus, that God revealed that to Joseph. Amen. Amen. The second part of the Christmas story that we don't talk about, the trouble that we don't talk about that came with the miracle, is the long journey. Now, it says that, okay, cool, now Mary and Joseph, they're on the same page. They're trying to comprehend this tremendous calling that's on their life all of a sudden. And I'm asking you guys to try to put yourself in their shoes. Try to imagine the stress that just entered their relationship. So it says that they had this stress, and then the second that we don't talk about is the long journey. It says that they had to all of a sudden go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Why? Because there was a census. And I don't know if you knew, no, it's not the same. It's not like you have some annoying person knocking on your door like 2020 where they're like, did you do your census yet? Did you do your census yet? You have people calling you on the phone, have you done your census yet? It wasn't like that. It was the empire that was ruling over the Israelites that said, if you don't do this, we will kill you. They were under the dictatorship of the Roman Empire. And so they were saying, y'all need to go back to your hometowns and you need to register now unless you want to die. And so here they are in this pregnancy, the stress on their marriage, the stress on their relationship, just as she's about ready to give birth. She's in her last trimester. She's ready to pop this baby out any day now. And then they all of a sudden get this quick command, you need to go and you need to do a long travel to Joseph's hometown, which is going to be a 90-mile journey. And they didn't have cars and they didn't have planes, which means that this almost 9-month pregnant woman now has to travel on a donkey for 7 to 10 days. I don't know about you, but I've taken road trips before where I'm in a comfortable car for 3 days and I feel like I'm losing my mind. 3 days. And I'm like, when is this road trip going to be over? Are we done yet? Are we done yet? Are we almost there? Because of how uncomfortable it is. Have you ever been sick and you have to travel when you're sick? Oh, it's the worst because you already don't feel good. You just want to relax. You just want to be cuddled in your own bed. You just want to not be bothered by anybody. But traveling when you're sick, nonetheless, 9 months pregnant, nonetheless, for 7 to 10 days, nonetheless, on a donkey. I mean, I guarantee you, Mary was like, blessed and highly favored, I am not blessed and highly favored. I know Gabriel came to me and she said, you're blessed and you're highly favored, but I am not feeling blessed and highly favored right now on this donkey traveling 90 miles in the middle of a census that was forced upon me and my husband. I guarantee you she was not feeling blessed. She was not feeling highly favored in that moment. And when it seems like it was so inconvenient for a census to happen. Like, God, why couldn't you have just allowed the census to be like, have you ever done this with God? Like, God, your timing's off. Couldn't you have just pushed it off a little bit further? Like, you're the God of the universe. Couldn't you have just pulled some strings? Why does there have to be a census now? What seemed like inconvenience in that moment was actually perfect timing to activate prophecy. Because you see, what our sometimes small human minds cannot comprehend is that there is more happening in the background that God has, and his timing is always perfect. And so for maybe Mary and Joseph, it seemed like a hardship that they have to travel 7 to 10 days on a donkey. But what was really happening was God was saying, there is an Old Testament prophecy in the Old Testament that says the Messiah Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. And they were residing in Nazareth. So God pulled the strings to say, okay, I know it's not going to be convenient, and I know it's not going to be easy for you, but prophecy needs to be activated right now. So there's going to be a census that's going to get both of you in to Bethlehem, where the Messiah has been prophesied that he will be. Sometimes when it's not easy for us, we think that it's not God's will, when the truth is, it was exactly God's will, because there was an Old Testament prophecy that needed to be fulfilled to show that this baby that's going to be born is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. So do not believe in your life that because it's not convenient right now for you, it didn't really work in the way you wanted it to, maybe you have to go through some discomfort like Mary had to go through, that it's not God. It's actually the opposite. It's exactly God. Because God wrote in the Old Testament, this is what has to happen. And so we see that they're on this journey to lead to the greatest gift that was ever conceived for mankind. And you know, there's different types of gifts, right? Come on, you know there's different types of gifts. There's the gift that you spent weeks thinking about, that you're like, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to get them. I heard that they said they need this, da da da. You know, oh, I heard that they said they wanted a new pair of shoes, so I'm going to get them that pair. Oh, I heard that she said she loves that purse. Ooh, I know what to get her. There's those gifts. And then there's a gift that you get on your way to the Christmas party because you forgot about the gift. And you're like, the gift. And then you decide to, you know, go through Walgreens and get them like a $5 chocolate bar. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know, sure. There's the gift that you forget to give your wife on her anniversary because you're like, oh, it's our anniversary. Oh, yeah, I got you something. And on the way home, you pick up some cheap Walmart flowers. There's two different types of gifts. There's the gift you put a lot of thought into, a lot of effort into, the gift that you save all year for. And there's the $5 gift card that you get on the way to the party. There's the cheap gift that you just forgot about that you put no effort into whatsoever. This was not, this gift that God was giving mankind was not Walmart flowers. It was not something that God forgot and he just put in a little $5 gift card for us. This was a gift that he had been setting into motion for hundreds of years. Since the beginning of when Adam and Eve sinned, he was already preparing this gift for humankind. We know this because as Mary and Joseph are traveling, as they're on this long journey, we know that God is telling other people about this gift that's going to come. We know that it says that the shepherds were watching their field by night in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 12. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says that that night the shepherds were staying in their fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Let's stop right there. Verse 1. It says that they were out there at night. And you might say, well, Shayla, why does that have any significance? Why would shepherds be tending their sheep at night? To us, people who don't really have sheep, people who aren't aware of what it looks like to be a shepherd, people who are not part of Jewish culture, to us that seems normal. But it's actually really weird that the shepherds would be out there at nighttime. Why would the shepherds be out there at nighttime? Normally they would gather their flock and have them already inside a safe area by nighttime. But it says that the shepherds, they were out there staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep at night. That's odd. That's actually very odd. Why would they be out there at nighttime? Well, we know that lambs are not the same as humans in the sense that humans, we can give birth in the summertime, the springtime, the wintertime, the fall time. You can be born any time out of the year. But lambs are only born one time throughout the year. It's called birthing season. There's only one time for lambs to be given birth to, and that is late winter into mid to early spring. That's the only time of the year that sheep are born. So get this, guys. As the lambs were out there, they were all in birthing season, and the shepherds were watching over their flock of sheep, anticipating birth of lambs, anticipating the birth of a lamb. some of you guys didn't click yet. As the shepherds are out there tending their sheep, anticipating a birth of a lamb, they get news from the angels that the Lamb of God is about ready to be birthed into the world. They get news that it is time for the Lamb to come into the world. That is not a $5 gift card. That is not Walmart flowers. That is intentionality of God saying, I got a gift coming for you, and everyone is going to know that this gift is something special. Because as these shepherds were waiting for just regular lambs, they got news that a lamb is coming, baby, and he is the lamb that will be slain for the world. So the shepherds, they get news that this baby's coming, and they decide to start traveling to where Mary and Joseph are because they want to see the lamb that's going to be born into the world that will pay the price for all of mankind. Amen. For all of our sin. The third piece of trouble that comes with the miracle that we don't really talk about, the part of the Christmas story that we don't really talk about, is the drama that came with the birth. Okay? So Mary and Joseph, they get to their destination of Bethlehem. And when they get there, it says they get there at nighttime, and they're told that there's no room in the inn. There's no room for them. They're told, remember when I said that I've been on, you know, three-day car rides, and I'm already, like, done? I don't know if you've ever traveled for a long period of time, but nothing sounds better than my bed after a long day of travel. Nothing sounds better than a hot bath in my bed after I'm tired and weary. I just want to be comfortable because traveling really wears you out. Nonetheless, traveling on a donkey, nonetheless, traveling while 9 months pregnant. And the last thing that Mary wants to hear is that there's no bed for her. And that you and your husband, you guys get to go. We have a space. Don't worry, we got a space for you. But it's where the animals stay. So you can stay with the animals tonight. And so that is now where Mary gets to go to for her resting place of the night after this long travel. She goes into where the animals stayed. Some people believe that it was a stable. Some people believe it was a cave. We don't really know for sure. Here's what we do know. It wasn't the inn. And here's what we do know, and I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this. I have before. She was a virgin pushing out a baby. I will say no more. I will say no more. But just think about it, okay? You can do it in your own mind. It was uncomfortable, I guarantee you. She was tired. She was weary. She was a virgin who's about ready to be a mother. And she endured that pain, and she endured the drama that came with the birth of bringing forth the Messiah. Another part of the drama that came with that is great. Now Jesus is born. I'm sure it was a great moment. If you have a kid, you know that the moment that your child comes into the room with those swaddling cloths and you're like, yes, I have my baby, it feels like you're high. And so all the pain that you just experienced, it all subsides. I don't know. I've never done it before, but this is what I've heard from mothers before. It's like that pain that you just went through 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever. It's all worth it when you're holding your baby. And so Mary's there. She's holding her baby. I'm sure it all feels worth it. I'm sure that there was a really angelic moment when the shepherds come and they say, hey, you're not crazy. We also got news that this baby is of the Son of God. She probably felt so amazing in that moment. And then just like that, Joseph, sometime relative to after Jesus was born, he gets news in a dream that King Herod, which King Herod was an evil dictator, King Herod was ruthless. He killed members of his own family whenever he felt threatened. He had no problem putting to death anyone who threatened him, even, like I said, members of his own family. So King Herod gets news that the Messiah is going to be born because the wise men who are coming tell him, oh yeah, we're going to go, there's a star in the sky. And this star, we're following it because the Magi, the wise men, they were astrologers. And so these astrologers say, we know that this is definitely of God. We've never seen anything like it. And we're following it because we believe it's going to lead to the Messiah. And so King Herod lies to them and says, oh, there's a Messiah coming, you say? A king? And he feels threatened with his little king ego. And he says, oh, tell me about this. When you find him, tell me where he is, because I want to worship him too, which we know now was a lie because he was just threatened by him. And so then as they're having this blissful moment of, oh, my baby's born and everything's great, now Joseph has a dream that Jesus is not safe. He has a prophetic dream because God's hand is all over this drama. God's hand is still providing for Joseph and Mary throughout all the chaos. And so Joseph goes to bed. He gets a dream that baby Jesus is not safe and that they need to flee that area. And God's hand of provision protects them as they flee out. And what does Herod do? Exactly what the dream was prophesying. King Herod was going to do something horrible, and that is what happened. King Herod was so threatened that he didn't know where this Messiah was. He was like, oh yeah, some Messiah. He was so threatened by this Messiah, knowing that this actually could be true, that he killed every single baby from the ages of 0 to 2 years old. Ruthless. But God's hand was on Joseph and Mary, and he told Joseph and Mary, flee so that King Herod does not find baby Jesus. What I want you to get out of today's message, as we talked about the three dramas that came with this childbirth, there's really lots, but I kind of just subcategorized it for you. The drama with the pregnancy, the long journey, the drama with the childbirth and everything that that entailed, the drama with King Herod, everything that came in with that. What I want you to get out of this message today is that there is always pain on the way to the promise. There is always pain on the way to the promise. And even the plan to fulfill the promise of the Messiah came with pain. Mary and Joseph endured a lot of drama and a lot of pain, but that doesn't change that it was still God's will, and that doesn't change that it was still his plan. And like I said, a lot of the time we believe the lie that if it's God's will, if it's God's plan, if it is, you know, the will of God, it's going to be easy. If it's true love, it's going to be easy. And what we see in the Christmas story, example through Mary and Joseph, is it wasn't easy. There was a lot of pain on that plan. There was a lot of pain in that journey. There was a lot that they had to go through to receive the gift of the Savior. So we see that this is true in Mary and Joseph's life, even when it comes to the Messiah being born. But also we see this in Jesus's life. The plan to fulfill the promise of salvation came with pain. Jesus did nothing wrong, and yet he still was slaughtered, and he was killed and hung on a cross. Even the promise of salvation came with pain. So my main point to you is there's going to be times in your life where it feels like you have to go through hell to get your miracle. And there's going to be times in your life where most likely the plan of God in your life is going to come with pain. Most likely God's will is still going to mean that you're going to have to go through some drama. But that doesn't change that it's still God's plan, it's still his will, and his hand of provision will stay on you if you are obedient to him. Amen? Winston Churchill said that if you're going through hell, keep going. If you're going through hell, keep going. Winston Churchill, you should just look up his life. That man went through a lot, and he's saying that you probably will go through hell, but when you are going through hell, keep going. There's going to be times in our life when it feels like we have to go through hell to get to the miracle. And I guarantee you Joseph was experiencing that. And I guarantee you Mary was experiencing that. But it was worth it when they held that baby boy. And it was worth it when Mary looked up at her son being crucified on the cross 30 years later, 33 years later, she knew this is God's plan. And through this plan, God will save and redeem humankind. Life is not a Hallmark movie. But it is still beautiful, and there is still God's provision and his hand on your life. Amen? This is the part of the Christmas miracle that we don't talk about. But I pray and I hope that you receive hope from this message, and you know when you're going through pain and hardship, you remember that Mary was blessed and highly favored, and yet she still had to go through it. And Jesus really was the Messiah, and yet he still had to go through it. And you truly are a child of God, but you're still going to have to go through it. But what did God do all throughout this story? He made sure he spoke to Joseph so that Mary wasn't alone. He made sure that he spoke to Joseph to make sure that he knew about King Herod. He made sure he told the shepherds so that Joseph and Mary probably received comfort. And then we know that about 2 years later, when Jesus was a two-year-old, because it said they say that it was probably about a 2 to 3 year journey for those wise men, you know, the one that were telling Herod, hey, we saw a star in the sky, we know that there's a Messiah. Those wise men, unfortunately, the nativity scene is a little bit not accurate, because when we see the nativity scene, you normally see, you know, the three wise men over here, you see the shepherds over here, and then you see baby Jesus. But actually, it took the wise men 3 years, most likely, to get to baby Jesus, which means that Jesus was already like a two-year-old by the time that the wise men came. And so when Joseph and Mary one day get a knock at their door, and they open the door, and there are three wise men. We actually don't even know if there's three. The Bible doesn't say that. There might have been more, there might have been less. We just know for sure that they had three gifts. And they open the door, and here are these men who probably looked abundant in how they were dressed. And they bowed down and they said, hey, you're not crazy. We also saw a star in the sky. And your child really is the Son of God. So even years after their birth, they could remember, wow, this child was worth it. And we don't know how much money they received from those gifts, but here's what we do know, that gold, frankincense, and myrrh were all very expensive gifts, very expensive gifts. And that was, I just believe that that was just God speaking to Mary and Joseph saying, I'm going to provide for you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. We don't know how much money it was, but we do know it was a lot of money. And I believe that that was just a gift to Mary and Joseph just saying, hey, I know you went through a lot, but you're in my will and you're in my plan. And don't forget about it. We can maybe guesstimate that this was a lot of money, because we know that Joseph died in between the time of Jesus being around 14 to 25 years old. Around that time, Jesus died. And Jesus had multiple other siblings, about six other siblings, which means that Mary had to have enough money to be able to provide for seven kids without a husband between the ages of 14 and 25, when sometime around there Joseph died. So we do know that Mary was okay. She was well off in that time. Like I said, I don't know how much money it was, but here's what I do know, that God provided for her, and God will provide for you. And even if you're this Christmas feeling like you're going through hardship or you're going through pain, don't let the enemy disqualify you and convince you that you're not in God's will, or convince you that your gift is not coming, that your promise is not coming, that you are not in God's plan. Because I'm telling you right now, Mary and Joseph and the Son of the living God had to go through just, if not much more hardship than you. And they were still in his will, and God's hand was over them the entire time, and he provided for them. If this Christmas, I know a little bit earlier, Isaac was praying over some people, as far as if you felt alone, if you felt like you're going through a lot this Christmas. I mean, I'm sure every single, it's like this year's so weird, because some people are like, 2020 is awesome because I was able to work home and make double the money and da da da. And so many people are thriving this year, and so many other people are the exact opposite. They lost a loved one. They've been out of work. They're losing their job. And so I don't know what category you're in. Here's what I do know, that even if this year was an easy year for you, even if this year's a hard year for you, there will be a time in your life when you're experiencing pain. I can promise you that. And I want you to cling to this Christmas message, to remember that God is with you in that pain. And that you, if you are obedient to him, you are in his will. Amen. And I want to pray over you that same thing that the angel came to Mary, and he called her blessed and highly favored. She was blessed and highly favored because she was a servant of the Lord who was more than willing to do anything that God said. And I want to pray that over you tonight. I pray that we are a body of Christ, a church, that even though we're going through pain or hardship, we're blessed and highly favored, not because our life is perfect, but because we're willing to do whatever God says. We're blessed and highly favored because we care more about God's plan for our life than we do our own. And the greatest gift that God gave us, the greatest gift has already come. And so even if God does nothing else for you, which we know that we serve a God who loves you so much, and I believe he is going to give you lots of gifts in your lifetime. But even if he didn't bless you with anything else other than the blood of his son, that you already have the greatest gift. Amen. God, I pray that we would be a congregation that when we read your word, when we see the emotion and the drama that Joseph and Mary went through, that we don't brush that over, but we say, God, give me the strength to be able to endure what you have for me in my life, God. Help me to be able to go through it the way that Mary went through it. Help me to believe the way that Joseph believed, God. Help me to just trust in you, God. Give me dreams and visions the way that you gave Joseph dreams and visions to reveal truth, God. Allow me to be so humbled and thankful by the plan that you have in my life the way that Mary was, God. And help me to be able to be more thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ than I am anything else in my life, God. Help us to endure and help us to be obedient, God. I call this church, I call the people watching right now blessed and highly favored, not because their life is perfect, but because they are willing to say yes, even when there's pain that leads to the promise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, amen. Amen.